Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report as we're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. Today, we are located at the Fairhope Golf Works in Fairhope, Alabama, just outside of downtown Alabama. I am Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Laster, and Coach Rick Cleveland has the, I'm going to say he's on assignment, but he's working today.
Doing his job as tennis coach at UMS Wright. They have a tournament over at the Mobile Tennis Center over in Mobile, so that's where he'll be this morning. I think last time we talked to him this morning, it was sweeping off the courts trying to get the water off so they could play today. So
they
got a big tournament over there today, and that's where Coach Cleveland will be with his team. And you and I are here, bud, the guys who see eye to eye on most occasions. You know, sometimes you wear elevated shoes and become taller than me, so. But most of the time, we're
you had to give a secret away, didn't you?
I did. There's some things that just can't be left alone.
Well, there's no doubt. Hey, I tell you what, we do have a big show lined up today. I know we're going to be talking with Avery Reed along with JT Perron right here at Fairhope Golf Works. Why are we here? We're going to talk about that. You had a wonderful tournament Monday and Tuesday out at Steelwood,
right?
The Dumbwaiter Invitational, West Lambert, and you did a great job out there. I know y'all played a little tough for some of the players.
A little tough on Tuesday, and greens got a little too – got away from us around – as the day warmed up and it got drier, the greens got a little too quick, and it was just a little – it was really tough. So Wes and I and the guys out at Steelwood did a – those guys did a fantastic job with the tournament. It was a great venue, and we're going to do some things to make that tournament even better next year. And we're working on some things for that next year. But had a great tournament. We've got David Armstrong, the golf coach at St. Paul's Episcopal School over in Mobile. They were the winners of the Dumbwaiter Invitational. And they had one young man by the name of Buddy Fleming who shot a 69 to lead the pack that day. So he's going to be on with us, I think, at 8:30. And then we have Coach Ron Lee who's going to join us at 9 o'clock today. Ron, a longtime football coach in our area, one of the finest men I've ever been around, will be on our show as he is stepping down. And he says he's not retiring. He's just stepping away for a little while. And Ron will be on with us. And then at 9:15, we have
– 9:15 actually is when David Armstrong is going to be on.
That's right. 8:30 is Kevin Raley.
Kevin Raley. My
fault.
Exactly.
I had that locked in my brain last night.
Right,
had to change it, and I forgot. Imagine that, senility. But Kevin Raley will be with us at 8:30, baseball coach at UMS Wright, and look forward to talking with him as always. What a fine coach and fine man, and we look forward to having him on. But David Armstrong then will be on with us at 9:15. And we'll talk about his team and how they did at the Dumbwaiter. Then what they have a big tournament coming up in a couple of weeks, the Azalea City Invitational, which will be a lot of fun.
And it really will be. And, you know, first off, you got to tell us who won. Who won out at Steelwood? How did Bayside finish out? And who was the medalist?
The medalist was Buddy Fleming from St. Paul's. He was the medalist of the tournament. We had two different tournaments in one. We had a Stableford tournament, which is a tournament in which on Monday the teams could actually score points. Everybody scored point for whatever you shot. If you shot a par, you got 2 points. If you got a birdie, it was 4 points.
Because you did the Stableford point system,
on Monday. And so the winner of that was Mountain Brook. Mountain Brook won that on Monday. And then on Tuesday in the stroke play, the medal play, St. Paul's was the winning team. They won the tournament with a score of 320, and Buddy Fleming was the medalist on that day. So that was had some good teams: Vestavia Hills, Fairhope, St. Paul's, UMS Wright, Northridge, Auburn, Bayside. We struggled a little bit on day two. Didn't play the best golf we've played. Luke Ferguson did shoot a 79.
Nice.
And so he played well. But our team struggle. It's a kind of a young team. We didn't handle it very well. But like I said, it was very, very, very tough on Tuesday, especially as the greens dried out and the distance was long. And so, but we've made some already made some notes and met and talked with the folks at Steelwood, and we're going to adjust some things so it's not quite as difficult next year when we host the tournament again.
Well, we had Wes Lambert on with us last Saturday. And, of course, Wes owns the Dumbwaiter over Mobile. Yeah. And a great guy. I mean, yeah. just good to have him on.
Yeah.
And really was excited about the tournament. And we got to get him back on for sure. But I know y'all put on a good tournament. And the kids, for a lot of folks, first time out at Steelwood.
Tough. It's tough enough out there,
yeah.
Like it is. When you set it up for an elite tournament, it can get and it got away from us. But it was something. But I'm telling you, Steelwood hospitality. Wes did a great job setting the tournament. We had a shotgun start on Sunday and a big meal afterwards. And
nice.
Greg Jones met and talked with the players afterwards.
And if you're not familiar with Greg Jones is the director of instruction out at Steelwood. He was the golf coach at LSU for many years. His dad was a great golf coach as well. And just a super-duper guy. Does a great job as the instructor out at Steelwood.
He does. And he had some great message for the kids on Sunday night. After we had our practice round and the meal, we sat right there out there at the veranda in a beautiful venue looking over the lake and over the 18th green. And it was just a real pretty evening and a lot of good stuff.
And let me just mention to you, Coach, I know you love fishing. If you ever have the opportunity to get out on that lake at Steelwood, you will perhaps catch the biggest bass that you've ever caught.
Yes,
out there.
Don't bring 6-pound test line because you're going to need a little bit more.
We have had a blast out there fishing.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
It's been really good fishing. Somebody
fantastic.
Had told us when we were out there Saturday, we were setting the course and looking at some stuff, and one of the guys came up and said he'd caught 32 fish that morning, 32 bass that morning.
That's great.
It's a great place, great folks out there, and we look forward to hosting the Dumbwaiter again next year, and it'll be a lot of fun because it was a really, really good tournament with some really good teams, and it'll be a lot of fun next year.
Coach, you're going to take a time out here in just a few moments, but one of the big things right now, obviously Alabama high school football coaches are strongly standing against a possible summer signing day. We're going to talk about that in the show today. Kind of give us a little taste of what that means.
Well, they're wanting to do a summer signing so kids can sign in July, I think is when they would do it. That would be three different signing dates. It used to be that February.
Right.
People would take out of school so they could watch signing day. That was a big day. Now it's kind of like just another day. But they've got three signing days. The Alabama Football Coaches Association in Alabama, President Terry Curtis, and I agree with Terry, that they said, look, we're not for this. Now all of a sudden you're going to give kids – this pops in our heads. Who would have thought 10 years ago kids would opt out of bowl games?
Nobody. Right.
Now, kids may opt out of their senior season if they've already signed a scholarship.
See, I am not in favor of that.
I'm not either.
Going to be honest with you. Because you've seen it.
Yes.
You've seen it. I've seen it doing play-by-play for all these years. When you have a commit to whatever college it is, and it's kind of like they really don't play anymore. They're not going to do anything to get hurt. They're not going to get in the middle of they're not going to be a factor for that team. And if they in fact do play that game, and I got to be honest with you, I don't like that. I'm not.
Well, I mean, that wouldn't be today. Commits. I still think there's about 99% of the kids who play, even after they've committed, are giving it all they've got for their team. There are some who may hold back, may not want to play when they get nicked up. But once you sign a scholarship, then what does that do? What do they do? Do they opt out? Do they not play when they're hurt? I don't know. There's a lot of things that we see that's happened in college that might be happening and coming down to the high school ranks, and we don't want to see that happen. And I think there's a big push, and I know Alabama's not going to be for that signing early in that time. I wish it would go back to the end of the recruiting season in February, and that would be the date that we have our signing. But those are some things you're looking at. Also, kids, we might reclassify. If they think they're going to sign every class, fine, go ahead and come on out. and go to college if their age and their scores and their ACT and their curriculum works, they may come on out and go, and move on to college a year early.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, time for our first time out. When we come back, we're going to visit with Avery Reed and JT Purine right here at Fairhope Golf Works. I'm going to tell you what, it is exciting to be here today. We're happy to be here. A lot to get into on this edition of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
There you go.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it. This is your big debut. It's like a dream come true. So won't you smile for the camera?
Need your smile there, Mark.
I'm trying, Randy. I'm trying.
All right, for the newbies out there, welcome back to this edition of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Anytime you hear Boss Skaggs or you hear Steely Dan, and this is the first time you listen to us, we are going to let that run for just a little bit.
Absolutely.
That's just what we do. All right, we have to pay homage to Steely Dan and Boss Skaggs. For JT, you're probably way too young. Avery, that might be somewhere in your sweet spot. I'm not sure.
It is. No,
but, hey, we are happy to be coming to you live today from the Fairhope Golf Works. Of course, Avery Reed, JT Purine, the proprietors here, and glad to be here on a day that's a little cloudy. Maybe going to get a little rain. Don't know. Yesterday it poured, so today will be okay. Tomorrow, we're supposed to play golf tomorrow, so it'll rain.
Probably rain, yeah.
But, we're good. Happy to be here. Coach Mark Lasher, I'm Randy Bergen. Coach Cleveland has the weekend off. Not really. He's actually doing a tennis tournament over for, I think it's McGill Tulin's.
I think so.
Tournament,
at the Mobile
right?
Tennis Center.
Right. So, Avery Reed is here with us, JT Purine. Avery, thank you for hosting us today.
Well, I'm glad you guys are here. Thank you for coming out, and thank you for having us on. This is fantastic.
We're going to have a lot of fun for the next couple of hours, I can promise you for sure. But let's talk a little bit about what you do here at Fairhope Golf Works.
Yeah, so we've been open, Masters last year. So we've been open now for about a year. I personally do all the club fitting. That's my background. Master club fitter.
Yes, right. let's not belittle that for sure.
I've been doing it for a little while. That's for sure. And JT does all the instruction. We just kind of ham and egg it, and it's been a fantastic setup and a fantastic response.
You know, one of the things, and JT, y'all have a lot of folks. I know Mark, a lot of guys and gals on your Bayside team come and see these guys here. Fairhope has a lot. You have a lot from Mobile, from all over Baldwin County that come and visit y'all. And you, in the year that you've been open, it has been fantastic. We've heard nothing but good things about folks that have come here, gotten lessons, gotten fittings. So, as a matter of fact, one of our good friends that'll be on with us at 10 o'clock, Matt Brandt, one of the proprietors of Boudreaux's Cajun Grill, most of you know him as The Voice, came and got fitted by you, I guess.
Yep,
got some new
sure
clubs.
Yeah, we had a great time.
And he, let me just tell you, he took a little money off of me last Sunday, okay? So you and I got to talk about that here in a little bit. But you do give instructions as well, JT.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Like Avery said, it's been a great partnership. It's awesome to have club fitter right next to me. It makes my life a little easier when something's going wrong with the club and students moving properly. And I've been teaching about 10 years, but really love it.
And it's a good balance. It really is, because you can go get the lessons from you. And, I mean, if we had a camera in here, you could see the right side is JT, the left side is Avery. You come get the instruction. If you need, hey, I need a different shaft, I need to get club fitted, you go right over to the left side. You see Avery. And, of course, Avery, you are a master club fitter. You've been on the PGA Tour for many years.
Yeah.
And was at TPC Sawgrass for many years.
Yeah. So I was the head fitter at the Kingdom at TaylorMade headquarters. That was kind of where I got my start, and then rolled out as I was on tour for them as the tour rep for 5 years, driving the tour truck, and had kids and couldn't be gone that much. So then ran the fitting center at TPC Sawgrass. And then the last 10 years was actually on the shaft side. I was the tour manager for Mitsubishi Golf Shafts. So at one point had 27 of the top 50 players in the world.
So when somebody comes in here, they are getting the best of the best. There's no doubt. And JT, I've got to tell you, I've heard a lot of compliments coming in your direction as well.
Thank you.
Again, Matt Brandt, who did take some money off of me. Between you guys right now, we got to figure something out because I'm about 50 down, okay, Mark? So how do I get that back from them? So.
That's my life in golf every single time I step out. So.
Maybe I need to spend the 50 bucks, or be a little bit more than that, but and get some lessons for sure. But when somebody comes out here, what can they expect, JT?
First thing that we're going to do is just kind of take a look at their baseline and see how their body's moving, see, you know, what the club is doing, speed, angle of attack, and all those different things, low point, and just try to get them moving efficiently. There's a lot of different ways to swing a golf club, and try not to fit anybody into one certain shape. Try to get them natural and free and athletic and swinging, and then usually end up sending them over to Avery's side to get the right equipment for it.
Yeah.
Tell us how that works. I mean, they come spend an hour with you, and then they just rotate over to Avery?
Occasionally. Actually, it's funny. It kind of goes both ways. There's every once in a while, you know, angle of attack, especially with a driver, is very important. So a lot of times we'll see on Avery's side somebody who's hitting down real hard on the driver. So he'll send them over. They'll get a lesson and get them hitting up on it, send them back, get fit up. And then vice versa, if I see somebody, you know, a lot of times it's dynamic loft. Somebody's de-lofting it too much or their launch angles are too low. I can kind of tell that equipment's off and send them right over there.
It's always interesting how it works out. And the way I explain it best is that it doesn't matter if you're a tour player or 25 handicap. Everybody's visual, right?
Right.
So if somebody comes in and they're working with JT and they go out on the first tee and they put a fantastic swing on it and the ball goes to the right, that's the last time they're putting that fantastic swing on it. Everything compensates.
Right, right.
So from a club fitting standpoint, my goal is to kind of figure out the direction you're going, you know, and there's certain guys that'll come in and they say, I play once a month and I play with my buddies and I don't really care. I just want to hit it better. And then there's other people that are working on their swing that have direction. And so my goal is to make sure the golf club matches up with their swing. So if you put a good swing on it, you get a good result and the club's doing what it's supposed to be doing, reinforcing the good swing, reinforcing consistency. And that's where we work really well together.
Yeah.
So there I figured out my problem. It's not my swing. All the blame goes to the ball and the club.
They sound like a tour player.
And Avery, we only got about another minute left here, but talk about some of the tour players that you've worked with.
Oh, I mean, I've worked with them all. So, I mean, you name it. We did a lot of shafts for Tiger. We've done stuff with Rory, done stuff with Justin Rose. I mean, you name it, I've probably met them or worked with them.
Well, and they're playing at a place you're very well familiar with, TPC Sawgrass, right now, for the players, the 50th anniversary of the players.
Love that place.
It's an awesome, awesome place. If you've never been there, you've got to go. You got to put it on the bucket list, if not to play, at least to go visit.
Yeah.
Who do you see winning this right now? Because, I mean, I got to tell you, I had Rory up there. I like Will Zalatoris.
Yeah.
But right now I don't think they're going to make it.
No, Wyndham's on fire.
Yeah, he is.
You know, when you can get a lead like that, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
It's a golf course. If you're playing well, you can score really well. If you get in a little bit of trouble, you can put high numbers in. I wouldn't be surprised to watch him go for the rest of the weekend, win it wire to wire. Well, not wire to wire, but I can see him pulling it off.
Good stuff. Yeah. No, there's no doubt. By the way, if you want to set up a lesson – with JT or a fitting with Avery, you can do that. Doesn't matter where you are. If you're along the Gulf Coast, if you're listening to us on FM Talk 106.5, you can go to jt.perrine, P-E-R-R-I-N-E, at fairhopegolfworks.com, or avery.reed at fairhopegolfworks.com. If you don't mind if they come from Birmingham down, do you?
We get them.
Okay,
yeah, we get people coming from everywhere.
We're all over the state, so it doesn't matter. You go on there, you can give them a call, 619-405-2071 or 218-4218. Give JT or Avery a call, set up a lesson. Now, you guys, I know you got to go back to work. You got some folks in here right now, but y'all are going to come back and visit with us here in just a little bit, all right?
Yes.
All right, very good.
Love to.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we've got more of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report right here on the PSR Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. The Pumps Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Turn and face the stars and stripes, it's fighting back them butterflies, it's calling in the air around here, sir, we want the ball. And it's knocking heads and talking trash, it's slinging mud and dirt and grass, it's I got your number, I got your back, when your back's against the wall, you mess with one man. Got a song. The boys are falling.
Coach, you have to love that right there.
Absolutely.
You have to. I mean, that just
boys
that, look at that. Chill bumps.
Absolutely.
Every time. That just gets me fired up. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. We are coming to you live from the Fairhope Golf Works. Avery Reed, JT Perrine here with us. We'll talk more with them in just a few moments. But Rick Cleveland not with us today. He's in a tennis tournament. So we've got Coach Mark Laster. And by the way, may I say, as always, you're looking good.
Well, thank you, sir. So are you, buddy.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I'm trying to lose some weight like you, my man. Hey, here's a good-looking guy.
Yeah,
Let's go to our Pops Midtown Communication Line and welcome in the head baseball coach for the Bulldogs of UMS, right? You know who he is.
Coach Kevin
Raley. He's on the line with us. Coach, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing good, guys. How y'all doing?
Well, we are doing great. Hey, look, I know it's been a little bit of a struggle this year for you. Tell us a little bit about your team. And it looks like you're kind of coming on the other side of it, right?
Hello?
Hey, buddy, can you hear us?
Okay, yeah, I got you. Well, yeah, you know, we started like 0-7. Went to Mississippi and played some really good teams. And, tough schedule. You know, we got some young kids coming back in. We had to replace about 80% of our offense. Pitching's back, and we started throwing well. And I think our last six games, I think, were 4-2, I think. Lost some, Fairhope beat us 1-0 in 8 innings, and then St. Paul's beat us 2-0 the very next night, and I think we won 3 of our last 4. So we're starting to play better. You know, the young kids are starting to figure some things out, and we're pitching the ball well. So, you know, still got a long way to go.
You know, I was looking at your schedule, Coach, and y'all did play some – I mean, I was looking at some teams from Mississippi that you're playing, some of the best teams over there, and then, of course, you get back home and – into Alabama, and you're playing some of the best teams around here as well. I mean, it's a tough schedule, but it should help you now. You've got picked up these two wins over Walker County and Waverly Central out of Tennessee, mm-hmm. playing over at Fairhope, and now you're going to be moving. It won't be long. Y'all be starting to get into area play. How does that part of your season, you know, when you're playing some really good teams, how does that help you as you start moving into area play and getting ready to make the run for getting into the playoffs again?
Well, I think it just prepares you. You know, every time out, you see good pitching. You know, and if you're going to do anything in the season, late in the season, you've got to be able to beat good pitching. And it's hard to do. There's some good arms around here. And we just want our guys to see it every time they go out. We want them to compete and learn how to beat those guys and, you know, play good defense. And also, our pitchers need to face good hitters. And we got to get them out. And sometimes we don't. Sometimes we do. So, I mean, that's the whole idea behind it. You know, we start area play on Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. We had a game rained out yesterday at Clark County. JV's got a home game today against Spanish Fort, so we're up at the field right now. I'm going to get it ready, but I think it just prepares you for what's ahead.
You know, we're visiting with UMS Wright baseball coach Kevin Raley. And Coach, I got to tell you, you know, no one wants to lose. But if you're going to lose, right now you're playing better teams. You're putting your players in front of some really good ball players. And all that can do is help promote you down the road as you see the teams that you would normally see. It's only going to get you better. Agree?
Oh, 100%. I mean, Orange Beach's got a good team. Bayside's got a hell of a team. St. Michael's got a good club. I mean, you know, and it's a tough area. You know, I mean, we were runner-up last year and ended up going a long way. You know, it's just a tough area, and I've got to do my job to put our kids in some tough situations so that they'll learn how to respond to it.
Coach, tell us a little bit about some of the guys on your team that have really started – coming along for you that you really need that kind of provide your leadership for your team? Because we both, all of, you know, as long as you and I have been doing this deal, the leaders are the guys. You don't want to have to be your leader. Well, yeah, I did, because I want you to kind of get up there next to me a little
he
bit.
He sounds young.
He sounds a lot. He's about 10 years younger than I am, but I'm going to try to pull him along as best I can. But as we have been doing this for the years we've been doing, I just think that I have noticed all throughout my career that when we have had guys that are good leaders that take care of a lot of things that the coach doesn't have to, it really spurs you on, especially when things get tough.
100%. And we have got some guys that are beginning to do that. Their eyes have opened up. Alex Sherman, our senior pitcher, who has committed and signed with Meridian Community College, he has really come on. His last three outings, he has been really, really good. We got another senior, Jake Jay. Jake had a very good outing yesterday in a simulated game. We need Jake to come on. We've only got four seniors, C.J. Right. Stewart being the other senior. And who's the fourth senior? I can't tell you who it is. CJ, Will Taylor. Will Taylor.
We've
got four. And you know, we've got some young kids, you know, a sophomore named Ty Waters is starting to hit the ball real well. We got a freshman, Manning and Mordace, having a good year for us. And we got Jeffrey Holston back from basketball. Jeffrey's a three-sport guy.
Right.
Starts as free safety in football and the four in basketball. And we got him out after basketball got finished, and he started to see the ball a little bit. So there's some good things that are happening. We're going to work today. We got 2.5 hours today. We got a chance to get in here. The rain, thank God, is gone. We got a chance to get in here, get some work done, and you know, we're going to get after it. But you're right. You're only going to go as far as your leadership is going to take you.
Right.
We're visiting with UMS Wright baseball coach Kevin Raley. All right, Coach. So you got rained out yesterday. All right,
yes.
With Clark County. Do you make that game up? And what does the schedule look like for the next week?
Well, we're looking at April 2nd as a possible date later on. As of right now, I'm not really sure. Next week, we got Tuesday, Wednesday, Orange Beach. We go to Orange Beach for the single game on Tuesday. And then we have a doubleheader here Wednesday. And then we're off until the following Wednesday. My son is actually getting married a week from today. So I'm taking me a couple of days off at the end of the week.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. He's getting, and I'll be there for the wedding, and then I'll come back on Sunday, and then, you know, we'll get after it again. And play. We got Bayside a week from Wednesday.
That's awesome. Coach, tell us a little bit about your coaching staff, some of the guys you got on there who are guys that, you know, you rely on to get a lot of things done.
Yes, well, Coach Jones Bullitt has been with me since I've been here. does an amazing job with the JV. He helps me with everything. Bullet does a lot. I'm just telling you, Mark, you know that.
He does a lot, man.
I mean, you know, and he, so many things that when it comes to travel or food or, you know, I mean, he takes so much off my shoulders. And he knows that because I thank him, you know, 10 times a day. Got in Chris Vandiver. Chris has been with me since 2017. Chris does the majority of the pitching, and I help him with it. You know, that's something else that's helped me a lot. This has freed me up to do some more things with the outfielders and spend a little more time with the hitters. I got Brock Reeves, Daniel Williford, and Jacob Brewer that do my middle school, and then Chris Maddox helps Bullet with the JV. A wonderful guys. They're dedicated to the game. You know, they're here in the morning. They're out here early. They're here late. It's just a joy to have them.
Well, they do a great job for you guys, and y'all guys have just done a fabulous job over the year. And I have this feeling, if I know Kevin Raley like I think I do and how he runs his program, this team's going to make a run.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Here. So just keep an eye on UMS Wright as they get ready to
You know what he's doing, right? You know, he's teasing.
Yeah,
that's
he's
all
teasing.
He's just teasing everybody.
Yeah, he is.
He's just getting a false sense of security. That's all he's doing.
He's setting them up.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Hey, Kevin, it is always great to have you on, brother. And we're following you, and we're going to have you back on real soon, okay?
Well, I appreciate it. Good to talk to you guys. Thanks for all you do for high school sports.
All right, thank you, buddy. Take care. Good luck, pal.
Coach Kevin Raley right there, the head baseball coach for UMS Wright. He is a card. He is a card.
Yeah, he is. And I'll tell you what, everybody who I've ever talked to that played for Kevin Raley.
Love him.
Love playing for
Ain't
Kevin
no
Raley.
Ain't no doubt.
That's why his team is, you know, when he was at Robert Stales, same thing. Kids love playing for them, and they play great baseball, and they work hard, and they're always there.
And here's the deal. If you're a UMS Wright baseball fan right now,
Don't worry.
Yeah,
it's okay. It's okay.
It's coming.
It's about to happen.
You can
it's
catch that. They'll be playing. They'll be playing some good ball.
And Mark, you and Rick, y'all been around coaching forever. Okay, and you've seen coaches like this. Look, some coaches you get down like this, you're like, that ain't gonna be good for them this year.
Right.
This guy right here, you don't worry about it. Okay, it's gonna be okay.
It'll be fine. He's doing a good, and he has. He loaded up the front end of that schedule with some really tough teams because he knew he had a young team. He lost a lot of good players last year, and they brought a young team in here for this beginning of this season. He's trying to get them to mature quickly and early, and you know, it's
don't
like,
you like that?
You know, it's just like in when you're playing in a golf match when you've got young guys on your golf team and they're out there as a freshman and he's playing against a guy who's a senior who's one of the top players in the state. You know, you like for him to get used to doing that during the season. So when you get to sectionals and sub-state and state,
right,
they're not not intimidated by guys who may be a little bit older than they are, hit the ball a little further than they do. They're not intimidated, but they can line up there and play with them. So it's the same thing in baseball.
Well, you see it in football too. I mean, you see it whenever you have, and you know it better than anybody. You start out a non-conference game or non-region game, I guess, and you play the better teams. It's only to get you better.
Right.
You know, I saw that with Coach Lazenby forever.
He
always went and played the best teams he could play at the beginning of the year so that his boys could get ready for region play.
I got to tell you one of the funniest things ever that happened with Phil every single time we made schedules out. He would make the schedule out. We'd always put in our 2 cents,
right,
you know, and then he'd come out with, you know, UMS Wright,
yeah,
you know, early, and we'd walk, what are you doing? You know, or he'd come up with somebody else, you know. He'd say, I'm going to call Robert E. Lee this week. He'd start teasing us.
Yeah.
You may as well. I mean, what are you putting all in? You know, we'd always give him a hard time. And he would say, but it's going to help us, boys. It's going to help us. And sure enough, he was right.
Every
year we got better, played, and we, you know, playing good competition was nothing new to those boys.
I got to tell you, I'm happy for Bayshore to have him as a coach. He's
good
gonna be,
man.
He's going to be a good
man.
For him, no doubt. All right, let's take a quick timeout. We're coming to you live from Fairhope Golf Works in just right outside of downtown Fairhope. Boy, we are going to have a blast here today. Don't go anywhere. More of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
Let that roll right there. Just let that roll right there. Little Boss Gags on a Saturday morning. Coach, it doesn't get any better than
you
that.
You know, JoJo is always rolling on Saturday morning. You notice that? Every Saturday
morning, what's JoJo
good
is
music
out there.
That is, man. I love it.
For those folks that have never heard Boss Gags, a little sample right there. All right, go listen to Boss Gags. You will fall in love. As a matter of fact, we have turned a lot of the younger football coaches,
yes,
into Boss Gags Steely Dan fans.
Who all was right? it we got?
Chase
going?
Smith.
Yes, Chase. Yeah.
Over Spanish Fork.
That's right. Oh man.
Absolutely. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, along with Coach Mark Laster, Coach Cleveland, in a tennis tournament. Hopefully, they will get to play. It won't rain on them. But we are at Fairhope Golf Works, and Avery Reed is with us as well. And Coach, I know it's time to get into our
leadership segment. You know, this is a great segment put on by 68 Ventures. Nathan and Brad, they just, you know, I'm always trying to help people, young people, adults, everyone they come in contact with. Today's topic on leadership is going to be about this little, this is the way I kind of paraphrased it. Have you ever heard of a movie, somebody like, especially in those old Western movies or those outlaw movies or whatever, they say, choose your words carefully. You know what I'm talking about? What you're about to say, you might want to make sure you choose it carefully, because that's kind of what this is about. Every time we engage in some sort of dialogue with other people, we have the power to help or hurt other people. You know, it depending on our mood, our disposition at that time. And as a leader, you want to make sure that you never really get into that situation to where anything coming out of your mouth is going to hurt someone. That's not going to help dissolve a situation or any type of problem or anything good going on. You want to make sure that everything that you comes out of your mouth is something that is constructive and can uplift people. One thing that I have to continually do, and what Brad was saying here on one over his comments he was making down here, is that I'm working really diligently not to engage someone when I'm emotionally charged. You know, if you get into an event, like, you want to not engage conversation with someone.
Right.
How many times have we watched myself, I've seen myself do it, in a football game on a Friday night or a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday or Monday night, college, pro, high school, coaches get into it with officials on the sideline or get into it with their coaches on the sideline. How many of those emotionally charged situations do those coaches wish they could reach back into the air, pull what they said back, and shove it back down their throat? Because it wasn't really beneficial to what's going on. You're not doing any good because they're emotionally charged. And when we get in emotionally charged situations, relationships can hinge in the balance. It's like at home. If you get in a fuss with your wife or one of your kids, you know, an emotionally charged situation, I want to make sure that I try – if I do it, I like to take 10 minutes, walk out of the house, you know, walk out in the yard, you know, look around, do something to calm down before I make any comments that's going to hurt my wife or my kids or people I work with. Same thing with people I work with, because I'm not going to agree all the time with everybody we talk with. So if you're a leader, choosing your words carefully are very important. In a good and positive situation or in a negative, difficult situation. But the thing that I found most important is that when you're emotionally charged, take a break, take 10 minutes, take a day if you need to. But don't respond when you're emotionally charged, because sometimes those things can come out a little bit too tough.
That is that's very good advice right there. There's no doubt very good advice, because sometimes even in a marriage – we say things, man, I should have counted to three on that. I counted to 10.
Yeah.
Okay, because that one is going to come back
to
bite me at
you
some point.
You better believe it. Mama's not happy. Nobody's happy. I tell you that right now.
Oh, my goodness. Get-go. Avery Reed back with us. Avery, I got to tell you, that first hour is going by fast. Has it not?
Yeah.
Let me get you on here. There you go. Yeah, it's going by fast,
man. It's gone by really fast.
Avery, I want to ask you real quick. One of the things out here, we had a few moments before we came on the air. You got a nice putting green out here. By the way, let me just mention to you, if you want to check out online Fairhope Golf Works, you can go to fairhopegolfworks.com. You can see the studio here, which is really, really nice. But you got a nice putting green out here as well. And I was using the Lab putter.
Yes.
Fabulous.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't miss a putt, I don't think, with it. Tell me why.
Well, you know, it's one of those things.
Because I'm fixing to buy one. I'm just telling you. I'm fixing to get one.
So I tell everybody, the one thing that cracks me up, one of my favorite things to do is putter fitting.
Right.
And it's because people, you know, especially in fittings, everybody knows launch angle, spin rate, and drivers. They know launch angle, spin rate, and irons. The one thing that it's really important in is putting. And diving in and understanding, people don't realize there's different styles out there based on stroke. So we can dissect it all. We do carry the Lab putters. The Lab putters have been extraordinary. It's kind of like I was telling you earlier, you can write or say what you want about any brand. I mean, everybody's going to say it goes 10 yards further. This putter goes in the hole every single time until you actually can sit down and dissect it and go through the testing in it.
Right.
I don't feel comfortable saying anything about it. And that's one thing where when we first started carrying them, you know, does this putter live up to all the hype? And, you know, I've done plenty of fittings for them now. And I mean, the centerness of contact coming off the golf ball, the roll on the golf ball, the launch angle on the golf ball, it's fantastic. And it doesn't take a lot of effort, and it's the way they design it.
You know. Which is fabulous. And what does Lab stand for? LAB.
Lie angle balance.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people have asked me, is it important to get fit? Well, on that putter especially, because we have to find the length, and the length is going to determine the lie angle. And what they do is they go in and they balance that putter head based on the lie angle. So there's really not a lot of effort. The face is never rotating. It's always going to be square to square.
Right.
So that becomes really important for that putter.
Good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff. We're going to talk more about that.
Yes, sir.
Throughout the rest of this show and Southern Fairways coming up at 10 o'clock. So, all right, first hour has come and gone. When we come back, we have a very special guest.
Yes, we got Ron Lee.
Ron Lee's going to be on with us. Don't go anywhere. More of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report on the PSR Radio Network. It happens right after this.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And we welcome you into the second hour of the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Reports. We're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. Today, we're located in Fairhope at Fairhope Golf Works. Avery Reed, JT Perrine, Coach Mark Lasseter, and I are all here.
Yes, we are.
And, boy, I tell you, that first hour was fun.
It was fun. This will be
a great second hour. Yeah, we got a lot lined up for this hour. Then, of course, at 10 o'clock, we got Southern Fairway Sports Show coming up. We'll be talking with Avery a lot more. We got a lot to get into in that hour and in this hour, as we got some special guests lined up in this hour.
We do. We have one of my favorite guys that I've known since I moved to the Gulf Coast and back in 1999. I got to know Ron Lee as a football coach and as a person. And over the years, he and I have coached against one another and became friends. He and his wife, just wonderful people. And I'll tell you a little story real quick. About Ron. When Ron and I was at Fairhope in 2008 and Ron was at Murphy. We were playing in the first round of the playoff. Well, the Saturday night beforehand, we had a tragedy occur in our program at Fairhope. One of our young football players, our starting center, Stephen Dorsey, was killed in a car accident. Mm. And it was a horrific event. And, you know, of course, we didn't have much thoughts about playing football at that time. And I called Ron. I told Ron, you know, this is what's taking place. We'd like to do a little something at the beginning of that ball game, if you wouldn't mind. And he was so gracious. And what we did, we got the ball first. We went onto the field. We were at Ladd Stadium playing, and we got the ball first, but we ran 10 guys on the field without our center.
Yeah.
And we took a knee, got a delay, and Murphy's kids all took a knee. On the sideline, they took a knee.
Wow.
Their coaches bowed their heads. It was a moving moment.
Wow.
And Ron Lee, I'll tell you what a gracious, gracious man. And they gave us a penalty for delay a game.
Sure.
And then, of course, Ron declined it, and then they waved it off, and
wow,
the game started. But that's the kind of guy Ron Lee is, just a guy who loves kids. And I've talked enough. I want to hear Ron talk. Ron, thank you so much for joining us this morning, my friend. Ron is stepping down as the head coach at St. Luke's and moving on to see. And he said, I'm not retiring. I'm just going to find something else to do. So, Ron, tell us about it, man. It's so good to have you on our show with us.
Oh, it is so good to be here. Look, I really appreciate that. We did have some really good times together. We had some sad times together. I know most of the time when we played, I was sad. You were happy, but, you know, that's football.
But not when you were at Murphy, partner. He won 77 ball games at Murphy. I mean, 77-38 was his record.
Wow.
At Murphy. He made the playoffs every year, did a great job, brought back an old offense from way back and made it modern and made it very difficult in the single wing. And Ron, just tell us a little bit about your decision. I know stepping away from football has to be something that has weighed on your heart and your beautiful bride Susan's heart. Tell us a little bit about what you came to making this decision.
Well, you know, anytime a head coach takes a job, as you know, and many others, you know there's going to come that day that you have to step down and turn the reins over and say goodbye. And that's the hardest thing, saying goodbye to the young men you've been around and developed a relationship with. People talk about relationships a lot, but I think you got real ones and then you got pretend ones. And the football players and their coaches, they turn out to be real ones. But Sue and I talked about it a lot, and it's a really good team coming back. And honestly, I just felt like it was a change for them, you know, to let them grow. And it was a tough decision because they're going to be good, but you always want what's best for the players.
You absolutely do. And, Coach, you know, that's what Ron's always been about. He's always been a guy who is a player's coach, and his players love him and play for him to the wall. I remember watching some of those guys play, and, I mean, there was nothing they wouldn't do for their coach. And it's the same way at St. Luke's, the way it's been there. And but tell us a little bit about what you kind of looking at maybe possibly doing in the future. I know I think you're – if I'm not mistaken, Ron, you're going to finish the school year out there and help in the transition. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to stay there, continue. You know, the running joke is after 38 years in high school, I finally get to graduate. And Sue has already enrolled me in a trade school. It's the School of Household Duties. I'm going to have a major in marketing. She won't let me pick my minor. I'm trying to pick a class of fishing, but she said that's odd. The question is probably going to be on bathroom management, but you know how it goes.
Oh, that's great. That is great. We're visiting with Coach Ron Lee, retiring after 38 – well, I'm sorry, stepping down after 38 yes. years. Coach, talk about who's going to be filling that position that you're stepping down from.
I am thrilled for him. His name's Joe Gilmore. He is a St. Paul's graduate. Afterwards, we wound up going to University of Alabama, graduated there in education. Joe coached for us at St. Luke's, offensive line coach, tremendous football coach, does great with the kids, so he'll know the program coming back in. But the neatest thing is he comes from a football family. His dad is Bo Gilmore. Bo was a superstar at Davidson as a player, and then wound up coaching around the Mobile area for over 30 years. So Joe knows what's coming for him as a head coach. He's been groomed for a head coach. So I'm really, really excited for him.
You know, as you look into the future coming up, it's always fun to take a step and look back at some of the experiences you had in your career. Could you give us one experience or something that you just really sticks out to you coaching at one of your stops? And well, you know, he coached at Grand Bay, Satsuma, Murphy, St. Luke's, and had different responsibilities at different ones. Tell us one, though, Coach, that you remember that really sticks out in your mind.
Well, you know, every school I've ever coached at, the coaches, staff, they always just made me feel so welcome when I got there. It wasn't any animosity. So I've been fortunate in those kind of experiences. But, Coach, I got to say, that night that you and I played each other at Ladd Stadium after that tragedy, I'll remember that forever. And, you know, it was that's one night when high school football truly showed what it's about, where fans on both sides felt the pain of your fans. Ours knew it. And that was a night that I'll remember forever.
I will do, Ron. That was pretty tough. That was pretty tough. But, man, I can never thank you enough for the kids that you had that night. I mean, they would come up to me after the ball game. It was a great ball game in first half. We played everything. We did everything we could do in the first half. But in the second half, Ron's team just put the hammer to us a little bit. And the worst thing that happened to us that night was halftime. But that Ron's team kind of put, but after the ball game, his kids, they came by, shook my hand. Some of them even hugged me, you know, just an emotional moment that it, like Ron said, it transcended sport. It went past sport. Yeah. It went to what's really
that's awesome
right in our world. And Ron, we're about to run out of time, buddy. I want you to know how much I love you. Appreciate you and your beautiful bride. And we wish you the very best. If anything we can ever do, you feel free to pick up that phone and give us a call, buddy.
I will. And thank y'all for taking the time. And I'm always going to be listening in. So you do a great job. You really represent high school sports so well. And those guys need it. They need that positive influence from the radio and from the community. And I won't be gone far.
There you go, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thank
pal.
You, Coach. We appreciate you.
Okay, thank y'all for having me.
All right, there you go, Coach Ron Lee,
stand-up guy.
Hey, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. He's going to get to do some fishing. So maybe y'all can go fishing together.
Man, maybe we can.
You know, as I listen to that story, about to go into a timeout here, but as I listen to that story, it kind of reminded me of Henry Wise a couple of years ago at Bayside.
Yeah,
and that tragedy there, and what Jimmy Perry did up at
it was amazing.
In Montgomery for that ball game.
It was amazing.
Sure was, no doubt. All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, going to visit with Avery Reed. We're going to talk a little more about Fairhope Golf Works right here. That's where we're broadcasting from, Fairhope Golf Works in Fairhope. Don't go anywhere. More of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report right after this. That shape is my shame.
Where I used to stay. Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Laster. Again, Coach Cleveland has somewhat the weekend off, Mark.
He's working. He's working hard right now. If he's sweeping off those courts to get water off so they can play, that's work.
Okay, again, we're talking about Coach Cleveland.
Okay, somebody's doing it. Maybe doing it for him.
But there you go. That's
he's out
like
there
it.
And got his kids getting like ready it. To play in a big tournament today. I think it's the McGill-Toolin tournament out there at Mobile Tennis Center. But right now we've got David Armstrong, the head golf coach at St. Paul's Episcopal over in Mobile. And let me just tell you, if you don't know this, he's got like 27 kids in his middle school program. That's just in middle school.
Wow.
And then he's got his high school program, which is just won the dumbwaiter tournament. And we got him on with us this morning. He is a guy that people want to be around. He's got that personality that kids love and are attracted to. And we just appreciate David being with us this morning. Coach, how are you this morning, buddy? We're glad to have you on PSR.
Morning, guys. I appreciate that. It's a little too kind to me. I'm actually out at the Mobile Tennis Center right now watching some of our guys play. Watching them dry off courts, like you guys were saying. They still haven't started yet this morning, so they're trying to get going now.
All right, well, do us a quick favor. Take a real quick glance. What is Coach Rick Cleveland doing?
I will say, in his defense, he was out there drying off courts for the last hour with his
There you go.
So,
there you go. I told you. You
wouldn't wait out here.
Well, Coach, let's talk a little bit about that, the Dumbwaiter Invitational over at Steelwood Monday and Tuesday. You get the win on that. Talk a little bit about your team.
Yeah, so Steelwood was awesome. It's so cool to have another local tournament. Bayside hosting it and what Wes Lambert of Dumbwaiter did to host that tournament. Could it have been cooler to have that experience out there? I will say that course played so hard both days. I thought it was an awesome test for the boys. And I will say we talked about it going into Tuesday, the stroke play day of the tournament, just that it was going to be difficult. So we could either make excuses or we could go out there and play the golf that we know we're capable of. And we honestly didn't play significantly better than we have the rest of the season. I think we just were able to grind through 18 holes out there and put up scores. I think we might be the first team in a while that we won a tournament without a score in the 70s. Buddy shot the 69, and then we took 283s and an 84 to win it. So,
wow.
What do you think was Buddy's what was his game plan? He had a game plan, I know, because he's played out there some before, I know, but he had a game plan going into Tuesday. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, so he takes lessons with Greg Jones, actually, out there, who spoke to everybody the night before. And
correct.
What he talked about was just focusing in on what you're doing, not how you're doing. So we kind of talked about that as a team the night before, just focusing on the next shot. And if anybody knows Buddy, like, he is so good at just kind of blocking out everything else that's going on, whether it's good or bad, and just focusing on what he's doing in the moment. And I think for 69 shots on Tuesday, he was able to just stay in it. He wasn't super aggressive. The course kind of prevented you from going for things that he normally would have. So I think that was a little difficult for his nature to kind of lay off a little bit and just take what the course gave him. He putted pretty well, put a lot of good shots inside of 10 to 15 feet and rolled in some putts. And he just grinds. He's just the type of player that, like, you want all your other guys to be around. We got back from the dumbwaiter. He got done early, and he went straight back out to the course and started working again. That's just the type of player he is.
You know, I just want to tell you this. I got a call from Westbrook Christian yesterday. They also played in the tournament. Didn't play very well like we did at Bayside. But he called me and said that he appreciated playing at Steelwood because they went to Twin Bridges Wednesday and shot one under par as a team.
Wow.
His whole team said making, wow. You know, planning the tournament that day, planning how to play it, made them think about how they do it now at every tournament they go to. So just what you were talking about, Coach, that made a big, big difference for us, for your team and for some other teams, and hopefully it will down the road. Tell us a little bit about now. We got about a minute before we're going to change gears. Tell us a little bit about what's coming up for St. Paul's. I know you got the big Azalea City tournament coming up soon.
Yeah, we're traveling up to Birmingham this weekend to play Greystone at the Bradley Johnson. And then we're hosting our tournament next week. We've got 16 teams coming in, a lot of local teams. St. Michael's is joining us this year, UMS, McGill, Fairhope, Daphne, Bayside. We've got a lot of good local teams and a few from out of the city coming down. It's just a fun day. The first day we get to do best ball and scramble, play 36 holes that first day, so that's a different challenge for the boys, and then stroke play on Tuesday. So we're excited about hosting that. Colin at Azalea City is just a great friend of junior golf in the area. He's been great mm-hmm. to us. He's awesome to work with. So we're excited about getting to host that next week.
Well, David, man, I appreciate you getting on with us this morning, telling us a little bit about your team, and congratulations on winning the dumbwaiter, and best of luck up in Birmingham at Greystone Monday and Tuesday.
Well, I appreciate you guys and all you do for junior golf in the area, and look forward to coaching alongside of you the rest of the season.
Sounds good, buddy. You take care of yourself, pal.
All right. Appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
Thank you.
Too, buddy.
Coach David Armstrong right there, the golf coach for St. Paul's. And, man, you talked about Steelwood playing hard. Y'all set that up hard, okay, and you did that intentionally.
Yeah, it was it was set to be a very difficult course on Tuesday.
Right.
And probably hindsight being 2020, the thing got away from us when it dried out and those greens were rolling at like 10, and it was really –
they're probably rolling more than that.
They're pretty fast.
Yeah.
And it was just a little too difficult for the majority of kids there, and they got frustrated. And they – you know, it was just – it was – and there's some things we can do better. And I think we know that, and Wes and I have talked about it. Wes did a fantastic job putting all –
he was excited about it.
He was. And he gave a lot of communication. Yeah. Everybody knew what to do. But there's things we'll do next. That course is hard enough without making it too much more difficult, because it is a difficult, but it is a absolutely gorgeous course. And Rick out there at the pro out there does a great job.
Rick Gear, yeah, does a great job out there. We're at Fairhope Golf Works, and Avery Reed is here with us right now. JT giving some lessons. But Avery, that's a tip right there. Whenever you get greens that are fast, frustration can set in pretty quick.
Without
right?
a doubt.
Yeah. How do you overcome that?
You know, that's a good question. I think it's different for everybody, to be honest. I mean, it's one of those things, and I think the coach said it the best, is, you know, you got to deal with each shot at each time. And
One shot at a time.
You can't let – that's the hard part, is not letting the frustration kick in, right?
Yeah.
It's just one shot, one time, and, you know, there's going to be times where you run it by the hole, or there's going to be times where you get a little scared and leave it short, and you just got to move forward and block that out.
Well, and that's listen, it happens to the best of us. It happens to the worst of us. You just got to stay. You got to have a short memory.
Yeah.
You got to have a short memory. That was a bad putt, or that was a good putt. If it's something good, lock that in. If it's bad, let it go. And that'd be about the best thing I could tell you to do.
Yeah. Just look at the number one player in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, he doesn't keep it in there. I mean, he lets it go. He lets it go, which obviously the players going on the 50th anniversary of the players at TPC Sawgrass. We're going to have Matt Brandt coming on with us at 10 o'clock. And if you weren't with us last week, Matt did something I don't know, and you were out there for many years, Avery, at TPC Sawgrass. I don't know that I've heard the story of anyone else. Are you ready for this, Mark? First time playing, First time on 17, first hole in whatever, and it's on 17.
How many? Was it 270?
No. They was playing about 140, I think.
Okay.
No, that's right. We played with Vijay Singh back
then. That's right.
We may have to hear more about that.
But that's fantastic. Hole in one?
Yeah. First time playing it.
First time playing
it. Are you kidding me? That's great. All right, look, we'll take a quick time out. More from Fairhope Golf Works right here on PSR Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Gotta let that roll.
Morning, put your business in the street, bud.
Put your business in the street.
Pardon me? I've never heard that before. That's a new
one. Avery, little boss gags on Saturday.
There you go.
Mean, is that it?
There we go.
That's it right there, right?
Ready to roll now.
Kids don't know what that is. That is just some good music right
there.
That
is good music.
We welcome you back to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report, coming to you live from the Fairhope Golf Works in Fairhope, Alabama. Randy Bergen, Coach Mark Laster, Avery Reed hanging out with us as well. And Avery, just a wonderful setup you have here at Fairhope Golf Works. Tell us a little bit about it. Someone wants to get lessons, get fit. Not only do you do club fitting, but you do fairway woods, you do putters, you do irons, you do all of it.
We do all of it, yeah. And we, you know, like I was saying earlier on the show, I think it was with JT, that we do a great job of ham and egging it. A lot of people get confused on, do I take the lesson first or do I do the club fitting first? And, you know, we do it all. And
that's a great question. Where do you start? Do you start with the club fitting or do you start with the lesson?
You know, I think it depends on the person's personality. And, you know, a lot of the times that's something that JT and I can figure out pretty quick. You know, we said that earlier, you know, a guy might come in for an iron fitting and we might look at some of the numbers and I'll be like, you know, if you spend an hour with JT, it changes what we're going to do.
Right.
And then we have some direction, right? I always tell people, you know, if you're in the situation where you want to get better and you're going to take lessons, always take one or two lessons first. Let's get some direction on where we're trying to go, and then what I'll do is I'll build the golf equipment to kind of force you into that direction.
You know, you can go to fairhopegolfworks.com. You can check out the studio right there. It's on your website.
Yep.
I mean, looks great. Mark, you have made many compliments so far this morning about being here.
It is a beautiful, beautiful place to come and play and practice golf. I'm sitting here looking at these kids hitting balls, getting lessons, dad's watching them. What a wonderful thing for kids to be able to do with their dad and with their family and get instruction on something that they can play for a lifetime. It's not like football where you get to your high school senior year and it's done for most kids. Golf is something you can play all your life. And to get instruction from guys who are experts in their field in a place like this, and if you're not playing real, just sit down and enjoy the man cave. It's pretty cool.
It is, you know.
It's just a really nice place to be. I mean, it really is something in it. You know, and I have mentioned to y'all that we've got kids at Bayside who come here and get instruction, and they have nothing but rave reviews about the instruction they get, the clubs that they get, and everything in their golf game can be attained here.
Yes.
And so that's what I think is the most impressive thing about this whole deal.
Well, and let me just say this about Avery. Of course, JT's been teaching for a number of years. And, Avery, you've been, if you're just tuning in, you've been part of the PGA Tour for a long time. You were a master club fitter on the PGA Tour. You got to fit the best guys out there. I mean, the Roy McIlroys, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, how much better does it get than that? And talk about that for a second, because I think as an average golfer, you know, we just say, okay, man, this feels good, you know, but those guys get pretty technical.
They get pretty technical, yeah. And, you know, that's one of the things when you come in here, we've got a lot of fun stories, that's for sure. But, yeah, I mean, those guys are dialed in. So you know, and I always, some people come in and they're like, well, hey, you know, you were working with Justin Rose and now you're working with me. Like, that can't be fun. And, you know, the thing I always tell people, though, with the guys on tour, I mean, we'd spend 2 weeks just trying to get 1 mile an hour ball speed. And then when we did it, we'd be high-fiving and jumping for joy. And I can spend 45 minutes in here with a person pick up 30 yards. I mean, to me, that's more enjoyable.
Sure.
And it's fun to see it on their face when they leave, and pretty impressive.
What's your thought too? Now, of course, as I mentioned, you do not only club fitting, you do woods, you do irons, you do wedges, you do putters.
Yeah.
The lab putt right now is the hot thing, and I'm telling you, I was using it a while ago, and I could not miss. I'm fixing to get one. Okay, Mark, I'll just tell you. All right, can I borrow you a little money real quick before you leave today?
Sure. Okay. I got $1.50.
Okay, there you go. I don't know if that's going to work, but maybe I can get that. As you work with these pros, and you're talking just about 1 mile an hour, it means a lot. Clubs mean a lot. Talk about the golf ball, because you're using that same golf ball pretty much throughout the whole round.
Yeah.
That whatever brand you're using. Is there one brand that you like better than the other? And I don't know if you can talk about that, if you can push one or not. Of course, we're Strixon.
Yeah.
Okay. I think they've got a fantastic golf ball. But talk about how important, if you're going to get club fitted, you need to get the right golf ball as well.
Golf ball's extremely important. But you bring up a good question, and it's kind of funny. I tell this to everybody. I mean, whether people know it or not. I mean, whether it's TaylorMade, Titleist, Callaway, Strixon, I mean, these companies have teams and teams of engineers.
Right.
Right. So, and everything, whether it's a driver, iron, ball, it all has legal limits. And in all honesty, every company makes good product. You can make anything work.
Sure.
So I always tell people, it doesn't matter what you're getting fit for, but 90% of it comes down to look and feel. Right. And it's the same in the golf ball. So, you know, a lot of people talk about golf ball fitting, and I can generally tell you, you know, you need a ball that spins more, you need a ball that spins less, that sort of a deal. But
right.
It really starts at the green on the golf ball, and you work your way back, because, you know, especially in chipping, if you change golf balls and you're used to something that checks up,
right.
And now all of a sudden it's rolling out and you got a 7-footer.
Yeah.
You know, what's more important, having a tap in putt or 5 yards off the tee?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I always tell people, start at the ball. I mean, I can always recommend, you know, you need a ball that creates a little more spin. We need to get some more carry. But at the end of the day, it's feel and it's performance. But everybody, and that's not just saying it, but everybody makes good product now.
Right. We're visiting with Avery Reed, Master Club Fitter, here at Fairhope Golf Works. Avery, someone that maybe there's a parent out there that's listening to us and they want to get their junior involved in golf.
Love it, yeah.
Where do they start?
I would always say at least swing in, you know, and kind of give us a rundown of where you guys are at, what you're working on. And JT and I are great at kind of pointing direction. You know, hey, maybe let's start here. Let's get some fundamentals. Let's get some direction. You know, once you get into, depending on the level the person's at, once they start developing some key components, then, yeah, we're going to build golf equipment that, it's like I said earlier, you know, my goal from a club fitting side is to make it where when you put a good swing on it, club does what it's supposed to do. So we start reinforcing what they're working on and creating that swing.
All right, I'm going to turn for just a second. Let's talk about, again, some of the pros you worked with. We talked about Rory McIlroy, Vijay Singh, the list goes on and on, Justin Rose, Tiger Woods. You got to work with all of them. Are those the guys that we see on TV? Are they the same guys that you work with? Meaning, Rory McIlroy, I like Rory.
Yeah.
All right, is he that guy whenever you're working with him?
He is. And I always tell people, I think – the younger generations, the Rorys and those guys, you know, when I first got out there, it was the Vijay Singhs, the Phil Mickelsons. I think that was a different era. I think the guys that you see now, the Ricky Fowlers, you know.
Why can't he win more? He's got the talent.
He's got the talent, without a doubt, and he's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I always tell people don't see the behind the scenes of what he does. I mean, visits children's hospitals in every state that we're in. But the social media aspect has opened up these guys where I think now there's no hiding. I think, you know, you used to see some of the guys that would be kind of tin cup, you know, great in front of the camera, shut the camera off, and they're a different person. These guys, they're on 24/7, and they're there just like you see them. And I think that Netflix show that they've done really incorporates that. That's the guys that I got to see on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I got to tell you, Ricky Fowler, I really like him. And I've played a ton of golf where he is from, Temecula, California. Beautiful golf courses out there. And got to play Temecula many, many times. One of my favorite courses. I don't know if you ever got to play over there.
Yeah.
But we that was a lot of fun playing over Temecula. But, yeah, we're going to dive much more into some of these guys you worked with.
Yeah.
Coach, you're going to love this. Coming up at 10 o'clock when we start Southern Fairway Sports, I'm going to get Avery's thoughts on the LIV Golf Tour.
Nice. I hope you have a long section blocked.
So we're going to talk a little about that. We've got some tips coming up, who he thinks might win the Players. Of course, we'll take a look as we build up to the Masters. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And we got to talk a little SEC basketball. What happened to Alabama? What happened to Tennessee? What happened to Kentucky? Those guys just, I mean, Alabama got beat last night, like what, 102-88?
Don't be surprised if Auburn didn't win a tournament. Yeah. Don't be surprised.
They probably should. Now, they beat South Carolina yesterday. I think the final on that was they won by about 30 points.
They've been playing pretty good the last few weeks. They're kind of the hot team in basketball right now. So, I mean, I don't – Alabama just kind of fell apart last month or so for some reason.
Well, it all gears around Sears.
Yeah, and he's not shooting well. So, if he's not shooting well, they're in trouble. So, but Auburn's on a roll right now. But I think that that ought to be fun to watch. And of course, I love March Madness.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the only time I really like to watch. Otherwise, if I watch basketball, I'm one of those guys who turns it on the last 3 minutes.
It's the best time to watch.
The best time to watch because then it really gets exciting. Yeah.
It's either going to be close and you're going to continue watching or it's a blowout and you turn it off.
Because I don't know what it is, but I watch team. If I'm pulling – I get so mad early in the game. I just have to get up and walk out. I mean, I don't know why. Probably because I never played basketball. You know,
I wonder why.
I don't know. I was good with a half court shot.
Hey,
because if I got in closer, they're gonna pack it. So.
I got to play against the Globetrotters. All right,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it really was. Now look, I had a Hall of Fame day that day. I was 50% from the charity stripe, and I was 100% from the field. A 3-pointer, top of the key, nothing but string music, and Special K went nuts. Escorted me back to the bench. That's a story we'll talk about some other time. That's about as much basketball. And you should have seen me warming up, doing a layup, little man doing a layup. Oh, that was hilarious. Good stuff. We're going to talk some basketball coming up maybe in the next hour as well. But you got coming up in our next segment, final segment. Can you believe the 2 hours is going by this fast?
I know, it's just flown by. Yeah. But we got the Grace segment coming up, and it's going to be on admitting when you're wrong.
Tough for a lot of folks to do.
It is tough. I think it's tough. I think it's human nature for it to be tough. But I know that throughout my career as an assistant coach and a head coach, man, there was so many times I had to admit that I was wrong and did not want to. Gosh, I didn't want to. And I'll talk about that more in a minute, about what the Bible says about it and about some of our leaders have said about it.
We've got to mention real quick our good friends, Chris Garrison, the guys over at Premier Collision.
Oh,
they do
man.
Such a wonderful job. Avery, you ready for this? He's got a 2009 Sonata,
okay,
that looks brand new.
Really?
Yeah, and it looked rough. I mean, it's one of those black cars that just sat in the sun all the time, and it just the hood was baked, the top of the car was baked, everything was baked, mirror was broken off, the antenna was broken off, the door flap didn't work on the gas tank, and we take it over and I say, Chris, I got to get this looking a little bit better. We're still driving it. It's been through all of our kids drove it, you know, all of our kids. And so he said, let me have it, coach. And then next thing I know, I get it back. That thing looks brand spanking.
His dad wants to buy it for
him. My dad wanted to buy it.
That is awesome.
My 87-year-old dad wanted to buy the Sonata.
That's fantastic.
He goes, where'd you get this car? I said, Dad, I've had it for nearly 15 years. It ain't got 100,000 miles on it yet. And but, man, they do great. And then Chris would call me, say, this is taking this long, coach. Sorry about that. Yeah. We're getting this part in. I'm taking care of it. And they did.
Yep.
And they kept me abreast of everything going on. And he's done the same thing for you, Randy. Did the same thing for Rick.
Absolutely.
And thousands of other people across our listening area have just had wonderful, wonderful experiences.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Listen, if you have a minor collision, major collision, whatever it may be, give Premier Collision a call at 251-478-4500. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, You've got the Camp Grace segment here on the PSR Radio Network.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
In the Bible, Proverbs 28:13 says, a person who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if that person confesses and forsakes those mistakes, another chance is given. In other words, you get a fresh start. You know, I read that this week, and I started trying to put it towards my coaching career and teaching and what I've been able to do throughout my life and mistakes that I've made. Man, I'll tell you what. There's sometimes, you know, as a head football coach or as an assistant coach, you make a decision about what you're going to do, and sometimes it's wrong. You make the wrong decision. You make the wrong call, you know, whatever it is. I remember changing offenses one year and wondering if I was making the right choice. You know, am I doing this right? And it didn't work. Okay? Yeah. So I had to admit I made a mistake, and I had to go back and say, you know, what can we do to make this better? And sometimes if you find out early in the football season that you've made a mistake on what you did with your offense or defense, it's a little late because it's not going to – you can't get it changed in the middle of the season. And so then you hope you got to look back on the back end of it and go, when it's over, you know, what do I do? And then so when you make mistakes, I think that's an important thing that you – have to make them. I mean, like Steve Jobs said, sometimes when you innovate, you make mistakes. When you innovate, you try to make something in your program that you want to try to get established, and it doesn't work. You didn't do it right. It's best to admit them quickly and get on with improving other innovations. If we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that sometimes our assumptions and preconceived notions are wrong, and therefore interpretation of events is incorrect. That causes us to overreact and take things personally or judge people unfairly. You know, people may see what you've done as an innovation or what you've tried or what event you put on, whatever, and they see it not be what they thought it should be like. You have to look at yourself and ask, did I do this incorrectly? Can I do it better? Is there something we need to change? It's common sense to take a method and try it. Franklin Roosevelt says, if it fails, admit it. Admit it frankly. And then try another. But above all, try something. Because without trying, we lose contact with who we are, with what we're supposed to be doing. If I, as a teacher, was trying something in my class, teaching, I remember when I taught history, I tried to do some things that were really out of my comfort zone as to how to teach kids something about history. Because history is something, you know, you have to – it's a lot of reading and a lot of memorization, you know. So to make it – you got to make it for kids. And they sit there and go, I really don't care anything about reading about what happened in the in this war or this time period or during the Renaissance. So you have to come up with ways to make it something they want to learn. So we tried to do these things. And it was really way out of my comfort zone because my best thing was that I like to do is put everything on notes and put it on an overhead projector. This is back before you had
computers
and things like that. Or you wrote it all, the notes, on a chalkboard, which most kids don't even know what a chalkboard is anymore. But that's what you – and then – but if you weren't reaching them, if the kids were failing, you got to go back and find out why were they failing. They don't like how you're teaching it, so I got to change the way I teach it. And so that's what the thing that I had to do was to change how I taught the class and come up with a way that would reach kids. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. You just had to keep working at it. But being able to admit a mistake is not an easy thing to do.
Well, and as a head coach, I can tell you, if your offense isn't doing like it's supposed to, it's not just you and the assistant coaches looking at you. You got to
whole bunch of folks. Whole
so
bunch
you have
of
to
folks.
Admit it, right?
Yes.
You can't hide from that.
Yes.
There's no doubt.
That's
boy,
right.
That's a good one right there. There's no doubt. No doubt. Coach, it has been fun today. It's been a fast 2 hours. The next hour coming up, of course, we've got Southern Fairway Sports. Avery Reed's going to be with us. Matt Brandt's going to be with us. JT may step in if he's not given a lesson. I know that Avery's got a lesson as well, but we are here at Fairhope Golf Works, and what a wonderful place. Now you know where it is.
Yes.
You know you can come hang out. You can watch your golfers come and get the lessons and tune up and get ready for your now. When's your next?
Match? Tuesday. Our varsity team travels up to Jackson, Alabama.
Oh yeah,
we're playing Jackson High School in a dual match, and it'll be a fun trip for us. And then next Friday at Rock Creek, our varsity plays Chaminade Preparatory School out of St. Louis, Missouri.
Wow.
At 1 o'clock. That's going to be quite a match. So we're looking forward to that. Our middle school plays on Wednesday at Rock Creek. So it's a busy week.
Coach Rick Cleveland, not here this week. He'll be back next week. And Mark, you'll be back next week as well.
I sure will.
All right. Well, we thank you for tuning in to the Prep Sports Report, the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. Coming up next is Southern Fairway Sports Radio live from Fairhope Golf Works. Go get you some cup of coffee. Get set. We got a lot to talk about when we come back. All right. Hey.